The Christian and Work, Commentary for the December 12th, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Ephesians 8, verses 5 through 9. During my senior year of college, I was awarded a matching North Pacific Union Work Study grant, where they matched every dollar I earned from doing student work study at the college to help fund my education. Since college tuition is expensive, the extra financial help was greatly appreciated, and it meant I would have employment for my senior year. During that time, I worked as an assistant in the English department, grading essays. I also worked on the paint crew, and when the weather turned cold and inclement, shutting down much of the painting work, I went to work in the college laundry. I was thankful for this change, as the laundry was a nice, warm place to work through the winter. For most of my work experience, many of my fellow workers were foreign students, as they were usually just as poor as I was and needed the financial boost to make it through. There were also a few from wealthier families who were only working because their families wanted them to get work experience. Some of those I worked with shared with me their perspective that one should just spend the smallest amount of effort necessary to get the job done in the time allotted. While this may have spared them extra energy they preferred to use elsewhere, it made the shift rather dull and monotonous. It got to where I dreaded my shift in the laundry because the dull routine allowed me plenty of time to consider what I would rather be doing. But it could also be dangerous to get lost in thought. We did the laundry for area hospitals, and once while putting the dirty linens into the washer, I felt a jab and discovered a hypodermic syringe mixed in with the sheets. Management at once drove me to the doctor to get a hepatitis shot and gave me the rest of the day off. I tried to stay more alert after that. One of the nice things about working in the laundry is that when we had special weeks of prayer at the college church, it would be piped in over the laundry sound system. I was fortunate enough to be there when Morris Vinden was speaking. One of his sermons caused me to wonder how Jesus would do my job. Would he just do the minimum he had just to get by? Or would his work ethic require him to do more than the minimum? I realized that he certainly did more than that in coming to the earth and dying on a rude wooden cross. He did not seem to hold anything back for later, but instead to give all he had for our salvation. I tried to envision what that would look like as a laundry worker and resolved at my next shift to do things differently. Instead of lethargically going through the motions of the job, I went at it with gusto. At first, those working with me thought I was crazy and demanded an explanation. I said I was just trying to figure out how Jesus would have done this job. Eventually, their speed picked up as well, and we finished well ahead of our usual time. This surprised the manager, and he assigned us for the rest of the shift to help the ladies who were unloading the dryers and folding the clean and dry items. While some thought this was just extra work they would not have had to do, I found it fun to do something different, and the ladies working the dryers were a fun lot to work with. Strangely, even though I had worked harder, I felt more refreshed and alert at the end of my shift, and decided working with the dedication and energy of Jesus was a better way to go. After a few months of this, I was drawing close to graduation and I was called into the manager's office. Not sure what to expect, I was surprised when I was offered the opportunity to take over as manager. The current manager was retiring, and because the extra effort I was putting into the job had attracted attention as a possible candidate to replace him, they felt I was a good choice. However, by then I had already accepted a call to pastor a 3-church district in the Midwest, so I was unable to accept the offer. I was saddened to hear that only a year later the college laundry closed for good. I had some great memories there, and some good people likely lost their jobs. A year later, I was also out of a job as my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I needed to resign my pastoral position to care for her. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened had I accepted the job managing the laundry. Had I turned down an opening God had provided? I will likely never know the answer this side of heaven, but I still wonder. Whatever would have happened, perhaps a takeaway is that God will take and magnify whatever we give him. If we cruise through life only doing what is necessary, we may find that we only receive the same in support. But if we give ourselves in service to others to the best of our ability, God may do the same for us. Doors of opportunity may open unexpectedly. But even if they do not, we will feel better about ourselves and be more of a blessing in this life. I am not speaking only of those blessed with good looks, wealth, and excellent health. No matter our circumstances, we all may gain by working as Jesus worked. I retired on disability 13 years ago, but since then I have written and published 5 books and hundreds of Sabbath school lesson commentaries, just like this one. I have also maintained a global ministry outreach reaching into over 150 countries. All of this being done by a disabled person with an aged and worn laptop computer and an internet connection. No one sends me financial support for this work, yet God continues to grow the ministry. I feel like I am experiencing the words of Zechariah, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." There is another spirit that I have met while reaching out to others. Daily I receive requests from others for money so they too can have a ministry. They claim they would win many to Jesus if they only had the money to buy the audio-visual equipment to do so. Once I thought that maybe God was wanting me to raise money from donors to help such ministries, and I even set up a 501c3 corporation to do so. But no funds came in for such work, and I realized this was not my calling. When I tell them that this ministry has no budget for such things, they accuse me of not being a Christian. I share with them the story of Paul, who worked as a tent maker to fund the needs of his missionary activities. I assure them that if they work to support themselves with the Spirit of Christ, God will bless them and open doors for them as he has for me and many others. Since what they have seen is wealthy Westerners who travel at great expense with loads of equipment to present the gospel in their impoverished villages, they are unable to divorce the gospel from the need to get money in order to have a ministry. I am thankful for organizations like Gospel Outreach. Instead of mounting expensive Western-led evangelistic campaigns, they pay local salaries to indigenous workers to travel by foot, bicycle, motorbike, and even horse to share the gospel among their own people. For those inclined to send money to spread the gospel, this is an organization I would recommend receive those gifts. Their website can be reached at goaim.org. Each of us will spend our lives here, and the years will go by no matter what we do. The march of years is unstoppable. When we draw near the close, will we come to the realization that we have just been existing with little to show beyond survival at the end? What will be the measure of our lives? Whom have we helped? Have we asked ourselves how Jesus would have approached our lives if given the opportunity? Would he have worked 30 to 40 years and at the end retire without anyone even knowing if Christ was a part of his life? Could our daily priorities and what we do on behalf of others speak more loudly about our relationship to God than our words ever could? How will you, dear reader, bring Christ into your daily life, your work, and your relationships? What seeds of kindness, compassion, and benevolence will you have sown that will continue growing when you are no longer around to tend them? May God grant us all the opportunity to work with the heart of Jesus. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find more commentaries at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.